Hello and welcome back to Two for the Tackles. This is Sachin.
And this is Rahul. Today's episode is going to be a follow-up to our last one. So if you haven't already listened to it, we suggest you do because it would make a whole lot of sense. But Sachin, we're gonna dive straight into it.
Yeah.
Last week we spoke about the old top four, the traditional top four, and how it changed, when it changed, what are the reasons for it changing. But this season has been
up and down, crazy. We've mentioned so many times.
Mentioned it a few times that it's been so weird, and we've also said that it's really hard to put a finger on your top four or top six. What does it really take? If I had to put a question to you straight up, Sachin, if I have to ask you point blank, what does it really take for a team this season to finish in the top four?
I would say it has to be a destroyer or a slash CDM who can win back the ball, and that's the platform from where it starts.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think every top team absolutely needs that destroyer, somebody who's just going to connect the defense midfield, break up play, make those interceptions,
screen the defense. Every team has that.
Yeah,
more or less.
Most of the teams have it in different ways. Different types of players.
Some may not have those traditional ones. Some might defend as a unit. Yeah. But
and I think just picking out some names out of the bag who are really up there. I think Højbjerg at Tottenham is been the best so far this season that we have seen.
Undoubtedly.
He's been absolutely outstanding, and I think that's a lot of his work is credit. Is a credit to how Tottenham have fared this season, and the fact that he just does his job.
So well.
Minute 1 to minute 90. So well. I think he's the epitome of a destroyer in the current Premier League. But, apart from him, there are also players. Manchester United have players. They have sort of Scotty McTominay plays that role to an extent. But then when they really need a player like that, Matic comes on. He can do the job.
Fred is also there. Fred is a little reckless. But, his energy is...
Yeah. I think he's more of a box prop, but in terms of breaking up that play, putting those tackles.
Fabinho is there, Fernandinho is there,
Ndidi is another underrated player who does that job so well, quietly, without going noticed so much. Outstanding, and I think if you see teams that are struggling, Chelsea, Arsenal, they don't really have that player. Arsenal had Thomas Partey who's come in this season, but he's been injured.
Yeah, he's been injured, so he's not got to... He's been a bit part player for now, but he has half a season to
pick that up. I think personally for Chelsea, we've really lacked someone after Matic left. We've not got that outlet in that sense.
Kante basically misses a partner.
Yeah, I think he needs...
To do that.
Yeah, he needs a partner like Matic. To really...
You can buy him back if you want.
No, I think it's too old. I think that is a very key... It's one of the keys to unlocking that, the lock that is the top four, the top six. And even a team like Aston Villa who have done very well this season. A team like West Ham who have done very well this season. Aston Villa have Douglas Luiz. West Ham have Declan Rice. Southampton have Uriel Romeo. Who's done a fantastic job. If you see the pattern in the top 8 or top 9 top 8 teams currently, they all have that player in some way or the other who are doing that job week in and week
out. And some defensive players are even scoring goals, so that's an added bonus.
Yeah, I think that's they're getting most of the goals as well. So Ndidi scored against Chelsea.
Exactly.
Thanks for reminding me. But I think going a little backwards from the defense midfield position, I also think that having a top class defense as well as a goalkeeper is also
very integral.
Very integral to finishing in one of the top positions. And similarly to a defensive midfielder, I think all these top teams also have a very good defensive shape and organization
which comes into the play when you are playing as a defensive unit.
I think the best example is Manchester United, who at the start of the season really struggled in that sense.
Terrible.
Where defensively you all were all over the place, but when once you have figured that right formula of how to play, I think yes, there are certain nerving moments, but overall I think you all have seemed to have figured it out. Ole seems to have figured it out. And I think that's...
It comes down to also, you know, having a consistent back four. That plays a lot, because if players are in and out, I think that partnership doesn't get...
No, I completely agree. And especially for a team who enjoys being on the counter, you have to rely on a fantastically organized...
Yeah. So that the counter attack from the other, from the opponent, the team should be able to sustain.
Yeah. And you know, City, who have also had defensive problems in the past...
They were deserved.
Yeah.
Really well. With Ruben Dias.
Ruben Dias has been one of the signings of the season.
Like when Hoiberg comes as a top class CDM, I think Ruben Dias comes as a top centre back.
Top centre back.
So far.
I completely agree. And you know, some of the teams that we spoke about, just going into the statistics, in terms of how many goals they've conceded and how integral that is in performing extremely well during the season. Manchester City have only conceded 13, which is the fewest in the league currently. Tottenham, as we mentioned, Hoiberg, what a good job he's done, and I think that's also a massive reason.
But Tottenham, you need to account for the bus as well. Bus plus
Jose's bus and Hoiberg. Big credit to them, yeah.
Regardless of this, yes, true.
You know, they have conceded the second least amount of goals, and we mentioned Aston Villa. Did you expect them to be Aston Villa?
I did not.
Aston Villa, by the way, have conceded the third least amount of goals in the season, which is 18.
Which we have to give quite a lot of credit to the Chelsea legend Terry. I feel he's put in his expertise and guided this lot to dig out these results by, you know, being as a proper solid defensive unit. Right.
Yeah. No, I agree. And you know, that's... it's an ode to, you know, these three teams that we mentioned, who have addressed problems when they were... Aston Villa were battling relegation last season, and they were conceding
phenomenal
shit number of goals. They've turned that around. They brought in a fantastic keeper. They've, you know,
it's like a gift from Arsenal. It feels like.
Yeah, I'm more than happy about that. But you know, jokes aside, these three teams have done really well in an area that, you know, you absolutely need to improve. You need to be at the very best if you want to compete in those top four, the top six positions. You know, even a team like Leeds was so good going forward.
They're terrible, but similarly with
Chelsea, you know, they've sort of figured it out in the start of the season and then lost all accounts mid-season.
With Chelsea, I would just want to add one point that there are too many new players, so it takes a little while for them to...
Yeah, I agree. I'm not, you know... want to get into that, maybe we'll talk about it on a different day, but you do basically, to wrap in things up, you need a fantastic defensive unit, including that midfield,
that screen.
If you want to challenge, I think that's something we both, you know,
I mean you can see all the teams that have won the league, they have that.
Yeah. And I think another part, and let's not, you know, muck around, let's not fuck around over here, you need top quality players.
There's no running away from
that. There's no hiding
that. As important as it is to keep clean sheets, to concede fewer goals,
you need magic
to score goals as well.
Yeah, and that comes from all areas of the pitch, right? It might even come from the defense, but we usually see it in the, you know, the attacking sense, that you need those magical players to, you know,
some individual brilliance.
You can turn around a game in a blink of an eye.
Correct.
Right, and again, you know, just looking at the top four, currently top six right now, United have Bruno Fernandes, City have KDB, you know, without the likes of Aguero and Jesus, and even Sterling, actually, you know, really...
KDB isn't playing like a striker. He's played all roles.
I think that's something that, you know, quality gets you. Like, even Bruno Fernandes, he's played on the wings, he's played on the centre, he's played
everywhere.
He's dropped deeper.
Spurs have Son, Kane.
Yeah. And, you know, we don't even have to talk about Liverpool's talent, because
the goals are all across the pitch.
It's so evident. And, you know, even Leicester, players like, you know, Madison and Harvey Barnes, who might have not been...
Even when Vardy was not firing on cylinders, they've gotten the odd goals.
Who might have not, you know, fallen in the traditional quality players bucket, but they have shown that they've, you know... They're up there. They're right up there.
Yeah, because we spoke about Leicester, we could speak about that season when they won. I mean, Mahrez wasn't a star, but they
didn't have a star, right? But
the star was born in that season.
Star was born, and now he is a world class star, right? So, I think that quality, not only in the final third but all over the pitch, is vital. And I think Aston Villa, who, you know, we are, you know, big fans of in the way they play.
I mean, they
Jack Grealish is that player for them. You know, he can just turn around a game, which is, I was trying to even watch him play, but yeah, I think that's one big, you know, you can't run away, as you said. You can't
as the league, I mean, the EPL has progressed so much that we don't even see traditional centre forwards anymore. I mean, we touched upon in the last episode, but that's how the league has changed. I mean, you have goals across the pitch.
Yeah. You don't need that Drogba, Van Persie, Rooney to bank on to get you the goals. You'll get goals from all over the pitch.
Wingers, maybe even, you know, there's so many defenders who've been scoring goals.
Yeah, exactly. And we spoke about the quality of players. I think in terms of managers, it comes to more of a flexibility sense, right? So obviously every manager has their own ideology that they want to implement in a club. But when things are going south and when things are not working as planned, even during a match, to have that level of flexibility to say, you know, fuck it, I'm going to change things up completely, but I'm going to win the match.
But do you have the personnel to do that? That also comes down to the squad.
It's more of a, like, you know,
Cohesion.
It's a cohesion of both, you know, the manager being willing to be flexible, as well as players who are saying,
you can call upon saying, okay, you know what, I want to change things up. Maybe you play here, maybe you play there, and then we change the tactics.
Yeah. So I think overall flexibility, not just in terms of managers, obviously, but in terms of the team and how they perform.
Right.
To be flexible, because it's such a weird season and any team can beat any team, you need to try different things in the middle of a match, even with the last 5 minutes, and if you're not getting that goal that you want, you need to, you know, be able to turn things around and just say, okay, you know, I'm going to
change it. So, and you surprise the opponent as well, right? When you have that tactical flexibility, because a team comes prepared knowing that, you know what, we know how this team plays.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And you know, we spoke about examples on the previous points. I think one great example, I'm going to go back to City, is, we all knew Pep and the way he loves to play, which is attacking, passing football.
Yeah.
But he is evidently and openly admitted to the fact that, you know, sometimes you just have to.
He's given in. That shows the quality of the opponent in the Premier League you have.
That's the quality of the Premier League that, you know, we love to see as fans of the league. But he has openly said that, you know, yes, sometimes you just, there's no hiding behind the fact that, you know, I'm going to play open attacking football.
He's playing with 2 DM, so that's proof in the pudding.
Yeah, and, you know, he sits back when needed.
He wasn't willing to do that before.
Never was willing to do that. He needed to have complete possession of the ball. But, you know, now when there are teams, you know, coming at them or countering them, they have the attributes to defend against that. So I think it's fantastic from his part as well. You know, we don't give him enough credit because, yes, he was very rigid in the past. But, you know, I'm going to play.
Because not too many managers really, you know, bend their philosophy. They're very rigid. Like, if you can say, like, Ralf Hasenhüttl, I think he doesn't really bend too much. I mean, he always plays the same way. And at times he gets away, at times he doesn't. Yeah,
which is why, you know, you see them not really in the top six currently. I think if he had that mentality, he probably would.
Yeah. Does it come on the ego a little bit? Maybe, you know, this is my team, I don't like to do that. I think that's the bit where they could change and maybe it could get something new out of that. Maybe it could work in their favor.
Yeah, and you know, speaking of flexibility, I don't think we're ever going to see it, but I don't think ever Jose is going to change his...
No, I don't think. There have been so many years, no. I've seen his hair turn grey, so...
I think, as, you know, we said that... The level of flexibility and what the players are committed to doing for the manager, for the club, is really important. But that still doesn't answer our question as to, you know, what do you really need to be in the top four. And I don't think that question can ever be answered until the season ends, because
there's so many factors.
Unpredictability, right?
It's a mix of having a good preseason, consistency, having a squad, having the personnel to rotate. Tactical flexibility, all of these together, I mean, would be putting you there in that top four.
Yeah, and you mentioned that, you know, briefly about the no preseason. How much of an impact do you think that has had on?
I think it plays differently with different sides, because a slightly larger side would let you maybe, you know, rotate those players who are not up to the mark. Mm-hmm. Whereas a smaller squad, you know, you don't really have an option. You have to play them. So then the match fitness and the rhythm would, but
it's been weird, right? Because you see teams like Aston Villa, Southampton, yeah, West Ham, Leicester even, who don't have a large squad. Okay, the large squads are the, you know, United, yeah, Liverpool, Chelsea, etc. It's been the opposite, right? So the top teams have suffered. If you've you go back and look at things,
I agree.
And the smaller teams who are really willing to, you know, push themselves and they have really succeeded.
Like you said, it's very difficult to answer this question because at first I was questioning why United didn't play well, and I felt because of the preseason. But then you could see other teams around them,
right,
who could play well. So
right, so I
hard to put a finger.
It's like you've seen managers as well complain about this, you know, no preseason. But see, it's been the same case for every one of those 20 clubs.
Yeah,
right.
It's not
and
different.
we've also heard not excuses, but you know, reasons why dip in form is the congested fixture schedule. But again, all teams are playing at the same time, right? Every team is playing in almost 2 matches a week now.
Maybe the mental side of it also, because come on, they're human beings and the pandemic has played out on them as well.
Right.
So we have to give them that.
I'm not saying that it's not justified to.
And the crowd, I mean, the crowd is generally a lift.
I think
for players.
I wanted to end on that note. Yeah. Is I think that plays a massive role.
Yeah.
I think that plays the biggest role. You can talk about tactics, you can talk about players, you can talk about fixture schedule and, you know, no preseason. But I think having the fans in the stadium is so underrated.
Such a lift.
Yeah, it's a massive lift.
I mean, they play for the club. Who are the fans, in a way, right?
And these players have been playing for years and years and years in front of, you know, shit tons of fans. And then you suddenly put them in a gigantic stadium.
And it's not just your home fans, because at times the away fans rally up, it gets a performance out of you.
Exactly. So I think it's both sets of fans, and that possibly is the biggest reason. At least for me, it is one of the major reasons why, because especially big teams, they really rely on
the extra bit. They're the 12th member of the squad.
Yeah. So they're the 12th man, and you know, it's, as I said, that there will never be a right answer to this, but you know, we can only put what we have in our mind, yeah, and you know, talk about that. But yeah, it's been a fantastic season so far, unpredictable as it may be. But half the season done, half the season to go. United are in a fantastic position, so you must be really happy.
I don't want to get too carried away. I feel like it's still an illusion, but yes, we are doing well, and I'm happy. I'm happy the way they're playing right now.
That's Sachin being humble for you. On the flip side, I think Chelsea fans have nothing to be happy with at the moment.
But I think y'all will get there. I mean, y'all have enough star quality and in time it'll happen.
We'll get into this later, but I think the sacking of Lampard is just...
Yeah. It's sad. I mean, seeing a young manager lose his job is not good for even a rival fan to see.
It's heartbreaking to see it, but anyways, it's football. It's what it is. And we have to move on to the next match. That's all we can do. So yeah, I think that was good. And that should wrap up our episode. Thank you guys for listening. It's been fantastic these last few weeks, and we hope you guys continue to listen and enjoy episodes. Feel free to reach out to us if you want to listen to anything specific, and we're happy to take that on as a as a consideration, and maybe in the next few episodes we'll change things up. But
definitely, certainly.
That's it from Sachin and Rahul, and thanks.
It's a holiday tomorrow, so please drink up, maybe.
Yeah, drink up to whatever you want. But that wraps up this episode. Thank you guys for listening again. This is Two Footed Tackles, and Rahul and Sachin signing up. Thank you.